So today's message on the 9th of June 24 is why not to be baptized? Why not to be baptized? Why you shouldn't be baptized? Very strange, you might think, to have a sermon on that. But here we go anyway. We're going to start with a short reading from Acts 8, 36 to 37. And it reads like this. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch answered Philip, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The Ethiopian eunuch clearly wanted to be baptized in water. He wouldn't have asked that question otherwise, would he? But should he be baptized by Philip? His question suggests that there might be objections to his desire to be baptized. But what could they be if there were any objections? Why shouldn't I be baptized? It's a question which you think, well, why shouldn't you be? Or maybe there could be some answers. Philip had just explained the gospel to him in words that he couldn't understand himself, because he couldn't understand what he was reading. In a chance meeting, Philip was able to share the good news of Jesus to an otherwise complete stranger. This is what happened. If we go back a little bit in Acts 8, we go to verses 30 to 35. This is what happened on that encounter when Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said to the eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." That was from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. At the drop of a hat, Philip was able to share the good news about Jesus. And clearly, that must have included the necessity to be baptized in water. Otherwise, why would the Ethiopian have asked for it? Why did he automatically assume, "I need to be baptized in water. Why shouldn't I be?" And the qualification required, Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the testimony of the candidate, the baptismal candidate, the eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's all he said, apparently. He may have said more, but that's what's written down. And on this occasion, there was nothing more required than this simple statement of belief and faith. And the eunuch was more than happy to be obedient to the scriptures in exchange for a new life in Jesus, with no condemnation, all his sins forgiven, and equality with Philip and all the other disciples, joining a family of God, a brother and sister of Christ. So what might have, in a different scenario, made Philip hesitate to baptize this man? What could have been the things that might have arisen? Let's consider one or two things. Suppose Philip didn't believe that the man really understood the message, or that he didn't really believe, even though he said that he did, or that he had, I don't know, some ulterior motives about being baptized. Maybe he was insincere or reacting to the emotions of the encounter with Philip. Perhaps Philip could reasonably have said, well, I think you need to think about this for a few days or a few weeks and make sure you're really ready to make such a commitment, because it's a life-changing decision, you know. And have you thought about what your boss might think about your decision to be baptized? Will that get you into trouble? Or will you have to keep it a secret? None of those things happened, did they? But they could have. Can you think of any other reasons why not to be baptized? If you were a Muslim, I could think of one straight away. Because if you were in a strict Muslim family and you come to faith in Jesus, you will know very well that if you're baptized, they will come hunt you down and persecute you one way or another, and it could lead to your death. That would be a reason, but is it a good enough reason? What about you? Can you think of any other reasons why not to be baptized, why you shouldn't be baptized? Maybe you don't want to be seen wet through in public. Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe you'd be embarrassed. Maybe it's as simple as that. Perhaps to you, it's just a religious ceremony. It's not that important. Like, well, how can going under the water in the space of 5 minutes or whatever make any difference to me? Why does it make any difference? Maybe you think like that. Okay, let's look at some examples. Let's look at a man in the Bible who was very, very unlikely to get baptized. This man was literally putting the believers of Jesus in prison and approving of their death. You know who I'm talking about. It's Paul. And in Acts 9, 15 to 18, this is part of his story. But the Lord, as Jesus said to Ananias, go, this man, Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And then Ananias went to the house and entered it. And placing his hands on Saul, he was called Saul then, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may be able to see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Just like that. He got up and was baptized. That's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. This account is very brief. You have to work it out for yourself. Paul was persecuting the church 1 minute, and to everyone's surprise, baptized and joining it the next minute. Just like that. Bang. What had happened? What happened there? He'd had an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus that had changed nearly everything that he believed. He was a changed man. He saw differently, and he was literally born again by the Spirit of God. And bearing in mind that Paul was a very well-educated man, he was no man's fool, why did he get baptized almost seamlessly with his change of heart. He knew what he was doing, and he didn't hesitate to make it official as a testimony to other people. To Paul, this was a very real and life-changing decision. Look at what he says here, much later on in his ministry to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6, Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord then, the Lord Jesus, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." One Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's all about Jesus, but to me it means that you only get baptized once. So what is Paul saying by one baptism? Is there another type of baptism in the Bible? Maybe some people think they are one and the same, or you only get baptized once. What is it? What is this one baptism? Here's an example of what it is and what it's not. Acts 19:1-7, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "Well, John's baptism," they replied. So Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is, to believe in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues or other languages, and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all." So here we are told that a baptism by full immersion, like John the Baptist did, is no substitute for being baptized in and into the name of Jesus. So there's two baptisms. So which baptism are we talking about when we read one Lord, one faith, one baptism? John the Baptist was preparing the hearts and minds for the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, and would prepare people to understand that it is him, not John the Baptist, it's him that they need to believe in, not John. Those that heard the good news that Jesus had arrived were baptized into his name. So, in a way, they had been baptized twice, hadn't they? They were baptized by John the Baptist, and then they were baptized by Jesus and his disciples. They were baptized twice. But is that what we're talking about? But only one of those baptisms is the one mentioned in Ephesians 4:1-6, where it says, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." There is no mention in Scripture of anyone receiving the Holy Spirit whilst being baptized by John the Baptist, except one. Only one. No one received the Holy Spirit according to the Bible except one person. And there it is, Matthew 3:13-17. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. So if you are baptized into the name of Jesus, his righteousness is imputed or credited to you at no cost to you, except that you repent. You leave your old way of thinking and living, your old lifestyles, your belief systems, and you change to believe and trust in him alone for your salvation and seek his will for your life. And that should include some aspects of the Great Commission, which essentially is to make more disciples for Jesus, thus saving them from a lost eternity. You may have noticed that sometimes when people are baptized into the name of Jesus in the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they speak in tongues and prophesy. But it doesn't always happen like that, and it doesn't always happen in that order. This is one of the times when things happen in a slightly different order. And before I show you this, I need to go back to the title of this sermon, Why Not to be baptized. Here are a few reasons not to be baptized, why you shouldn't be baptized. You shouldn't be baptized because of family pressure. You shouldn't be baptized if you've been coerced to be baptized, cajoled, overly encouraged. You've been persuaded for some reason. You shouldn't be baptized for religious tradition. That's a really bad one. You shouldn't be baptized if you're superstitious. You shouldn't be baptized because you're following your spouse who's been baptized. You shouldn't be baptized because you're imitating something or someone. You shouldn't be baptized if you have FOMO, the fear of missing out. You shouldn't be baptized because you don't want to be the odd one out, the one that hasn't been. You shouldn't be baptized because you're prideful, or you think there's some potential social recognition in being baptized, or there is some kind of denominational requirement for you to be baptized, as in your role in the church requires you to be baptized. That's not a good reason. You shouldn't be baptized simply because your church has named a date when it will be baptizing people and you think you might as well join the queue because you haven't been baptized. I don't think any of those are reasons to be baptized. There are reasons not to be baptized. If you think that baptism alone will qualify you as a Christian and a disciple of Jesus, whether as an infant, a junior, or an adult, it will make no difference to you or God if your reason for being baptized is wrong or misguided. Now, back to that scripture, where strangely people were commanded to be baptized. That doesn't sound right, does it? That somebody should be commanded to be baptized, or people are commanded to baptize these people. That sounds against what a case of one of those situations where, hang on a minute, I don't think this is the right thing to do. But this is the scripture, and it's Peter speaking. The Apostle Peter, the disciple that we all know. In Acts 10, Listen carefully. Acts 10, 39 to 48. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen. By us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And while Peter was still speaking these very words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard that message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and other languages and praising God. And then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he, Peter, ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Have you ever taken that on board? They had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were speaking in tongues, prophesying, delighting in God. So Peter ordered that they be baptized in water. Think about it. Okay. Under what circumstances would you, whoever you are listening, accept someone being ordered to baptize you? Under what circumstances would you, whoever you are listening, accept someone being ordered to baptize you? Like in that story we just heard about, Peter saw that these people had come to believe, they had been filled with the Holy Spirit, so he said, baptize them in water. On this occasion, it is clear that following Peter's preaching, those listening believed the message. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. The evidence that they had become true believers and were filled with the Holy Spirit was not a substitute for them being baptized in water. Clearly, they had already been born again. They were born again now, so they were saved in effect. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were speaking in tongues. And you might think, there's no need for anything else. That's it. They're saved. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Why would you need to get baptized in water? I had, in the past, an evangelical pastor who, when I realized I needed to be baptized, he was willing to baptize me by full immersion, which is what I believed is the right way of doing things, as per the examples in the Bible. But when I asked him to tell me about his baptism, he admitted that he himself had not been baptized as a believer. So at that stage, I found his answer to my question bewildering. I just couldn't understand it. And realized that he didn't take the scriptures seriously regarding the need to be baptized into the name of Jesus in water. And as a result, I no longer believed that he should be the one to baptize me. I was disappointed, and I looked for someone who actually practiced what he preached, or was perhaps better qualified to follow the Lord's instructions. When Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, cast your minds back to what happened, can you imagine that Philip himself hadn't been baptized? The one who was baptized in the Ethiopian eunuch. Is it entirely possible? Is it possible that he wasn't baptized himself? I found that extremely difficult to believe that he wasn't. This is the Apostle Paul's account of what he personally witnessed prior to his own baptism. In Acts 22:8-16, this is his encounter of Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord?" I asked. "Get up," the Lord said, "and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that you have been assigned to do." My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. The man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. And he stood beside me and he said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see him. And then he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." So, reasons not to be baptized. Maybe you still have a few of your own. Maybe they're personal reasons. Maybe you're still not sure. Paul's ministry included baptizing believers. But he puts things in perspective here, since he clearly doesn't place a lot of importance on the number of people he has personally baptized. But notice that when there is no one else to do the baptizing, you, whoever you are, might be called upon to do it yourself. And if that happens, what would you do? Will you be prepared and willing to baptize someone? Will you be able to remember your own baptism as a believer? Can you remember the person who baptized you? Is that important to you? Will you be able to ask the candidate looking for baptism the right questions? Will you be willing to baptize them? And if not, who would you ask to do it? In 1 Corinthians 1:13-18, Paul says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I'm thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Oh yeah, and I also baptized the household of Stephanas, and beyond that I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So Paul makes it clear, doesn't he, that he hates the idea that people might brag about who baptized them. "Oh, I was baptized by Paul. Oh, I was baptized by Apollos." And this is an important point. It's not the baptizer that is imputing God's grace and mercy onto the believer. The infilling of the Holy Spirit doesn't come through the one baptizing you. He or she, maybe, is just a willing member of God's body doing another God-ordained job for God's glory and the growth of his church, the increase of the disciples. And the disciples should carry on doing that very thing. God doesn't ask much of us, really, does he? It's the disciples of Jesus who did the baptizing. Okay, you've had long enough, I think, to consider why you shouldn't be baptized. Now let's be more positive. Reasons to be baptized. Part one. You have come to realize that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You want to go deeper into Him. You want to dedicate your life to Him. You know that to go further in your belief and faith, walk with Him, there lies an obstacle called baptism. That's one of the reasons. So Jesus has become your personal Savior and you want to trust Him more. You have read the Bible enough to realize that it's an ordinance, i.e. we're told to be baptized and to go out and to baptize others. That's in Mark 16 and Matthew 28. This is a reason to be baptized. You've been told that you've been baptized as a baby, but you no longer believe that that was what Jesus meant was to happen to your children. So you understand that He calls you to be separate and obedient and to carry on with being discipled and to take part in His great commission. And deep in your heart, you know you should be baptized. You just know you should. You realize that you do actually believe and trust in Jesus right now. Maybe you're confused about what happened to you as a baby, as a child, and you don't know if that counts. Well, that's between you and the Lord. But the more you search through the Bible, you won't identify what was done to you as a baby by using Scripture. There is one baptism, one faith, one hope, and it's all centered on Jesus being baptized in His name and into His name and becoming part of the body of Christ. I'm going to finish with this short scripture from Mark 16. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." So the question is, to what depth, what extent do you believe? Because it clearly says whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Try and get rid of the reasons not to be baptized, because the scriptures clearly point in that direction. Father, we thank You that You have shown us everything in Scripture about the way things should be. And we, as denominations, as different styles of church, have really complicated the matter and clouded the issue, and we really need to get back to the basics, to believe, to repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Lord Jesus, You send Your Holy Spirit upon us now. Fill us afresh. Fill us for the first time. Give us faith, Lord. Give us hope. Help us to be obedient and to make the decision to do the right thing for the right reason. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.